شيل شيل عن جمالي شيل يا حوطك بالله دم الشهيد معطر بالهليل يا ليلو.
You're tuned in to This Week in Palestine, a space where truth is not trimmed to fit margins, where resistance is not metaphor, but lived reality, and where solidarity is not seasonal, but a constant pulse that beats across generations. From the heart of occupation, voices rise, not in isolation, not as whispers drowned out by empire, but together, in chorus with movements across the globe that demand justice, dignity, and liberation. This is not just a broadcast. It is a lifeline, a thread that stretches from Gaza to the world, binding shattered homes to unshaken hope, binding rubble to resolve. It is a reminder that even in the darkest nights, the flame of defiance continues to burn. Each week, we bring reporting that refuses euphemism, analysis that cuts through distortion, reflections that center Palestinian life in all its depth, defiance, and humanity. We do not sanitize. We do not soften. We speak plainly because the stakes are too high for anything less than truth. We trace the architecture of empire, the policies that suffocate, the narratives that erase, the weapons that silence, and we follow their echoes across borders, from Ferguson to Jenin, from refugee camps to classrooms, from Gaza to the global conscience. This Week in Palestine is not a program of polite avoidance. It is bold testimony. It is urgent truth-telling. It is unapologetic solidarity. Because the struggle for liberation is not confined to one land, one people, or one moment. It is shared. It is global, and it is sacred.
ويل ويل عالظالمي ويل ويل من الله لا سهر على نجوم الليل انا داويل.
Before we begin, a necessary reminder. The views expressed during this hour belong to our hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect those of WZBC, Boston College, or its Board of Trustees. This is not a space for polite avoidance. This is not a space for sanitized soundbites. This is a space for truth. Bold, urgent, unapologetic. Good morning, good evening. Wherever you are tuning in from, thank you for being here. I am your host and narrator, Abby Mosri, and it is a profound honor to welcome you back to This Week in Palestine. Today is Sunday, December 14th, 2025, and once again, our gaze turns to Gaza and the West Bank, lands under siege, where homes lie in ruins, where lives are uprooted, where voices struggle to rise above the weight of global indifference. As headlines fade, the truth remains. Palestinians continue to resist, even as the threat of reinvasion looms. Let us be honest. Israel has never sought peace. It has sought opportunity. Opportunity to ethnically cleanse, to erase, to rewrite history with bulldozers and bombs. And the world knows. The world watches. Some in silence, some in complicity. But will it finally reckon with the cost of that silence? Will it choose conscience over convenience, action over apathy? And still, one question refuses to fade. How long must a people suffer before the world decides to care? Stay with us as we strip away silence, as we uplift resilience, as we carry forward the flame of justice. This journey is not mine alone. It is ours. It is shared. It is urgent. And it is sacred.
شيل شيل عن جمالي شيل يا حوطك بالله دم الشهيد معطر بالهليل يا ليلو.
You are listening to This Week in Palestine, Truth and Justice Radio, WZBC, Boston College.
ويل ويل عالظالمي ويل ويل من الله لا سهر على نجوم الليل انا داويلو.
There is a list, a hidden list. A list of Jewish extremists and convicted terrorists that Israel's far right wants to set free. They call them security prisoners. They call them patriots. But let us be clear. These are men convicted of murder, of arson, of racist attacks against Palestinians. Amiram Ben Uliel, the man who burned alive the Dawabsha family in Douma. Ami Popper, who gunned down 7 Palestinian workers in 1990. Yosef Haim Ben David, who kidnapped and murdered Mohammed Abu Qadir, a Palestinian teenager, in 2014. These names are not forgotten. They are etched in blood. And yet, Israel's far-right campaigns for their release. Why now? Because thousands of Palestinian detainees were freed in a ceasefire deal. Because the far-right demands balance. Because they want Jewish terrorists treated as heroes, while Palestinians are treated as criminals for resisting occupation. The Israel Prison Service refuses to disclose the list. The president's office refuses. The Shin Bet refuses. Honenu, the far-right legal group, admits only this, a few dozen names. But the truth is clear. Impunity is the rule, accountability the exception.
Consider this. 94% of police investigations into settler violence are closed without indictment. The chance of an Israeli soldier being indicted for killing a Palestinian? 0.4%. This is not justice. This is apartheid. This is a system where Palestinian resistance is criminalized and Jewish terrorism is excused, hidden, protected. But against this agenda, we honor the voices who refused silence. We honor Shireen O. Akleh, Issam Abdallah, Motaz Azaiza, Bissan Oda, journalists who carried the truth to the world. We honor doctors like Ghassan Abusita, Mona Elfara, and the nurses who healed under fire. We honor students from Columbia, Harvard, Berkeley, and Boston College who marched, who occupied, who spoke. We honor Americans like Angela Davis, Cornel West, Chris Hedges. We honor Jewish voices of conscience, Noam Chomsky, Norman Finkelstein, Ilan Pape, who exposed the myths and defended the dignity of Palestinians. The far right may hide their list. They may cloak their terrorists in patriotism. They may demand balance while Palestinians bury their dead. But the truth cannot be hidden. The names are known, the crimes are remembered, and the world is watching. From Gaza to the West Bank, from refugee camps to classrooms, from hospitals to newsrooms, we declare, justice is not negotiable, accountability is not optional, and the hidden list will not remain hidden forever.
شيل شيل عالجمالي شيل يا حوطك بالله دم الشهيد معطر بالهليل يا ليلو.
Settler violence in the West Bank has surged to record levels in 2025. Over 1,600 attacks have been documented this year, injuring more than 1,000 Palestinians, destroying farmland, uprooting olive trees, burning mosques, and forcing families from their homes. Every day we speak of violence. Not random violence, not isolated incidents, but organized settler violence in the West Bank, a campaign of terror, a campaign of displacement, a campaign designed to erase Palestinian life. Since October 2023, more than 1,000 Palestinians have been killed in the West Bank, over 11,000 injured, and in 2025 alone, the UN has documented over 1,600 settler attacks. That is more than double the violence of the past 2 years combined. Let us name the violence. Let us trace the attacks.
In Hebron, in the villages of Sa'ir and Masafer Yatta, settlers released livestock onto Palestinian farmland, destroying harvests and blocking farmers from plowing their fields. In Kisan, near Bethlehem, settlers stormed cultivated land, again releasing animals to devastate crops. In Michmas, southeast of Jerusalem, olive groves were destroyed and cattle released into farms. In Borin, south of Nablus, villagers were attacked, homes vandalized, and trees uprooted. In Al-Shajara, east of Duma, settlers stormed the community, damaging property and threatening families. In Al-Mughayir, east of Ramallah, an elderly woman, her grandson, and two foreign activists were beaten with sticks and stones. In Jericho Governorate, in the Al-Hathrora Bedouin community, families were displaced after repeated settler raids, homes ransacked, and grazing land blocked. In Nablus, in Madma, Atara, and Beit Awar Al-Tata, an infant was injured by tear gas, olive trees set ablaze, and agricultural equipment stolen. In Jenin, Kintubis, raids combined with settler assaults destroyed homes, displaced families, and cut off water networks. And in Haja Hamida, in the northern West Bank, settlers set fire to a mosque, burned Qurans, and scrawled anti-Muslim graffiti. These are not accidents. These are not misunderstandings. They are patterns. They are strategies. They are colonization through violence, and they must be named. They must be remembered. They must be resisted. Each attack is more than numbers. Each uprooted olive tree is a family's livelihood. Each burned mosque is a community's soul. Each displaced family is a wound that echoes across generations. One in every five Palestinians killed in the West Bank this year was a child. Children inhaling tear gas, children watching homes destroyed, children growing up under siege. And what of accountability? Settler violence is not punished, it is protected. Israeli forces escort settlers during attacks. Israeli ministers arm settlers, integrate them into regional defense units. Police investigations, 94% are closed without indictment. This is not law, this is impunity. This is apartheid. From Hebron to Nablus, from Ramallah to Jericho, from olive groves to mosques, the message is clear. Settler violence is systemic. It is daily. It is designed to erase. But Palestinians continue to resist. They continue to harvest. They continue to rebuild. They continue to live. And we too must remember, every attack is a crime. Every uprooted tree is a testimony. Every displaced family is a call to conscience. The struggle in the West Bank is not only against settlers, it is against silence. It is against complicity. It is against the world's refusal to act. Today, we do not speak in abstractions. We speak through the eyes of reporters. Those who carried cameras, notebooks, and microphones into the heart of the West Bank. Those who risked their lives to tell the world what settler violence looks like. Three stories, three voices, three testimonies. Each one a window into the daily terror Palestinians face. Story one, Shireen Abu Akleh, Jenin and the West Bank. We begin with Shireen Abu Akleh, a Palestinian-American journalist for Al Jazeera. Her reporting was fearless. Her presence was constant. Her voice was trusted. In Jenin, she documented raids where settlers, backed by soldiers, stormed villages. She showed homes burned, olive groves uprooted, families displaced. She told the world, "This is not random. This is systematic." And then, in May 2022, while covering another raid, she was shot. Killed, silenced. But her story lives on. Her reporting remains a testimony that settler violence is not isolated, but part of a machinery of dispossession. Story two, Motaz Aziza, Gaza and the West Bank. Echoes. Motaz Aziza, a young Palestinian photojournalist. His lens captured the rubble, the blood, the resilience. Though based in Gaza, his reporting echoed across the West Bank. He documented settlers torching cars in Hawara. He showed the aftermath of olive groves destroyed in Burin. He revealed the faces of children forced from their homes in Musafer Yatta. Motaz's images went viral, shared by millions. They pierced the silence of mainstream outlets. They showed what settlers tried to hide, that violence is not only bullets, but bulldozers, fires, and fear. His story reminds us, sometimes a single photograph can do what a thousand speeches cannot.
Story three. Wael Al-Dadu, bearing witness amid loss. Wael Al-Dadu, bureau chief for Al Jazeera and Gaza, but his reporting has long tied Gaza to the West Bank. He covered settler attacks in villages near Ramallah, where families were beaten, homes vandalized, and mosques burned. He showed how settlers, escorted by soldiers, turned daily life into a battlefield. And then, Wael himself became a story. In 2023, his family was killed in an Israeli airstrike. Yet, he returned to the field, returned to the camera, returned to the truth. His reporting from the West Bank reminds us to tell the story is itself an act of resistance. To keep filming, to keep speaking, even when grief is unbearable, that is courage. Three reporters, three stories, three testimonies. Shireen Abu Akleh, her voice silenced, but her truth eternal. Motaz Aziza, his lens exposing the violence settlers tried to hide. Wael Al-Dadu, his grief transformed into relentless witness. They remind us that settler violence is not a headline. It is lived reality. It is uprooted trees, burned mosques, displaced families. It is children growing up under siege. And they remind us that journalism is not neutral. It is resistance. It is memory. It is the refusal to let silence win. So today, as we honor these reporters, we honor their courage, their sacrifice, their truth. Because without them, the world would not see. And without seeing, the world would not know.
ويل ويل عالظالم ويل ويل من الله نسهر على نجوم الليل نداويل.
The Palestinians lost their home. They lost their lands. They lost their farms. They lost everything. They lost their children. They lost their siblings. They lost their families. They have nothing left to lose. And on the other hand, the Israelis have everything to lose. The luxury life they are enjoying over stolen land, over stolen farms, over stolen homes, free education, free medication, privileges built on dispossession, comfort built on occupation. But let us be clear, the Palestinians are not asking for revenge, they are asking for justice. Justice for the homes bulldozed, justice for the olive trees uprooted, justice for the children buried, justice for the families displaced. Israel demanded revenge, but from the wrong people. In the name of Jews, they went after those who sheltered them. They went after those who were kind to them. They went after the very people who once offered refuge. History is inverted. The oppressed became the oppressors. The survivors of persecution turned their pain into a weapon against another people. And yet, Palestinians do not ask for vengeance. They ask for dignity. They ask for freedom. They ask for the right to live. Look at the contrast. Palestinians in refugee camps, living under siege, without medicine, without clean water, without safety. Israelis in settlements, living in luxury, with free schools, with free healthcare, with roads built on stolen soil. This is not balance. This is not justice. This is apartheid. The Palestinians have lost everything, but they have not lost their truth. They have not lost their dignity. They have not lost their demand for justice. And the Israelis? They have everything to lose, because luxury built on stolen land cannot last forever, because silence cannot erase history, because justice cannot be denied. The Palestinians are not asking for vengeance. They are asking for justice. And justice, once demanded, cannot be silenced.
شيل شيل عالجمالي شيل يا حوطك بالله دم الشهيد معطر بالهليل يا ليلو.
Every little piece of this land means something to the Palestinians. Did you hear about the old homes and alleys? Did you know about the historical mosques, churches, and temples? Did you ever hear about the mother olive tree of Palestine? Well, let me tell you about it. In the hills of Al-Walaja, near Bethlehem, there stands a tree, not just any tree, but the mother olive tree of Palestine, 5,000 years old, older than empires, older than prophets, older than the myths of conquest. This tree has seen invaders come and go. It has seen homes built, homes destroyed. It has seen families harvest olives, press oil, light lamps, and pray. Its roots run deep into the soil of Palestine. Its branches stretch toward heaven. It is a witness. It is a survivor. It is a symbol of samud, steadfastness. And yet, olive trees are attacked. Settlers uproot them. Bulldozers crush them. Fires consume them. Because the olive tree is more than wood and leaf. It is identity. It is memory. It is resistance. The mother olive tree of Al-Walaja reminds us, Palestine is rooted. Palestine endures. Palestine resists. And as long as that tree stands, so too will the people who call this land home.
ويل ويل عالظالم ويل ويل من الله نسهر على نجوم الليل نداويل.
Some people argue that it is the end of Palestine, the end of the Palestinian people. They say the struggle is finished, that the dream is gone. But let us take a look. Let us face the truth. The Palestinians have no army, no tanks, no fighter jets, no Apache helicopters. The Palestinians have no open checks to buy weapons, no superpower standing behind them, no America, no West offering unconditional support. Even the neighbors, those who share the language, those who share the faith, those who share the history, have turned their backs. The Palestinians were left alone, alone in the dark, alone to face Israel, alone to face the West. Zionism built a fence between the Palestinians and the world. Not just a fence of concrete and steel, but a fence of silence, a fence of propaganda, a fence of erasure. They tried to silence the Palestinian voice. They controlled the media. They controlled the narrative. They controlled the American and Western governments. And for decades, the world believed the lie. For decades, the world turned away. But awareness is spreading. The truth is breaking through. The voices of Palestinians are reaching the world. The testimonies of journalists, the cries of children, the images of bombed hospitals and bulldozed homes, they cannot be hidden anymore. And yet we are still at a crucial point, because the Western countries and the United States still take sides, still defend occupation, still justify apartheid.
So what remains? What remains when you have no army, no jets, no allies, no neighbors? What remains is the people, the mothers who plant olive trees, the fathers who rebuild homes, the children who carry memory, the students who march on campuses, the journalists who film the truth, the doctors who heal under fire. What remains is resistance. What remains is dignity. What remains is the refusal to disappear. Some people argue it is the end of Palestine. The Palestine is not an army. Palestine is not weapons. Palestine is not fighter jets. Palestine is a people. Palestine is a memory. Palestine is a truth that cannot be erased. And as long as there is one child who remembers, one mother who plants, one journalist who speaks, one student who resists, Palestine lives. The fence of silence will fall. The lies will collapse. And the world will see. Palestine is not ending. Palestine is enduring. Palestine is rising.
We continue our resistance with every grain of sand, with every olive tree, with every soul, and with every child. We continue our resistance by telling the truth, by exposing the lies, by refusing silence. Once at Oxford, Dr. Gada Carmi stood in the audience. She was faced by a settler speaker, Mr. Dayan, a man who claimed he belonged to the land, a man who insisted that his presence was natural, that his roots were here. Her answer was simple. Her answer was quick. Her answer was unforgettable. She said, "You said that you respect my national aspirations. I find you fascinating, Mr. Dayan. I really do. I cannot understand how you have such self-assurance. A man born in Argentina, whose family comes from Ukraine, and yet you want sensible people to believe that you have some connection with my country." And then she struck the heart of the matter. You drink stolen water. You eat stolen fruit. You farm stolen farms. And you want to convince me and this audience that you and your settler friends are not common thieves. That moment was not just a debate. It was resistance. Resistance in words. Resistance in truth. Resistance in the refusal to let lies stand unchallenged. Because resistance is not only stones and slogans. It is memory. It is testimony. It is the courage to speak when silence is demanded. Palestinians resist with olive trees, trees that settlers uproot, trees that bulldozers crush, trees that carry centuries of memory. Palestinians resist with water, water that is stolen, diverted, controlled. Palestinians resist with homes, homes demolished, families displaced, villages erased. And yet the people remain, the roots remain, the truth remains. We continue our resistance with every grain of sand, with every olive tree, with every soul and with every child. We continue our resistance by telling the truth, by exposing the lies, by refusing to let thieves call themselves owners. And as Dr. Gada Carmi showed us at Oxford, the power of resistance is not only in the land, but in the voice, in the courage to say, you drink stolen water, you eat stolen fruit, you farm stolen farms, and you are not free men, you are common thieves.
شيل شيل عالجمالي شيل يا حوطك بالله دم الشهيد معطر بالهليل يا ليلو.
The genocide in Gaza, the brutal attacks on Palestinians in the West Bank, and yet no change in the official attitude, no shift in the halls of power, no reckoning in the governments that claim to defend human rights. This is astonishing. This is unacceptable. And we demand answers. Support for Palestine is becoming global. It is everywhere. It is in the streets of London, the campuses of New York, the squares of Berlin, the marches of Johannesburg. It is in the voices of students, the cries of workers, the chants of activists. It is very encouraging. It is undeniable. And yet, the governments still support Israel. The governments still defend Zionism. The governments still enable destruction. Israel and its allies are accelerating the destruction of Palestine, accelerating the displacement of Palestinians, accelerating the ethnic cleansing of the land. They are aiming at erasure. They are aiming at silence. They are aiming at a Palestine without Palestinians. But they are not succeeding. Not yet. Not ever. Who are the enablers? Who are the ones allowing this to happen? They are the great powers of the West. They are the governments that send weapons. They are the banks that send money. They are the corporations that profit from occupation. They are the media outlets that repeat the lies. They are the slaves to Zionism. They are the countries that support Israel at all costs. They are the enablers. It is important to focus on the enablers. Because Israel without them is nothing. Israel without their weapons, without their money, without their political cover, would not have lasted until today.
Zionism, with all its power, with all its propaganda, with all its support, cannot erase what the world has seen live. They cannot repaint their picture as the victims again. They cannot rewrite the story. Because the world knows what genocide is. And when the world sees it. They name it. They refuse to forget it. The images of Gaza, the testimonies from the West Bank, the voices of journalists, doctors, and students, they are the evidence. They are the truth. They are the memory. So today we say, the genocide in Gaza will not be hidden. The attacks in the West Bank will not be erased. The enablers will be named. The governments will be held accountable. Because Israel without them is nothing. Because Zionism without their support collapses. Because the truth cannot be silenced. The world knows what genocide is. The world knows what it looks like. And the world will not forget. Palestine lives. Palestine resists. Palestine endures.
ويل ويل عالظالم ويل ويل من الله نسهر على نجوم الليل نداويل.
Let us turn now to the voices of reporting, to the dispatches carried from villages and towns across the West Bank, to the testimonies that document not rumor, not hearsay, but the daily crimes of settlers against Palestinian life. We will listen to the journalists who walked among the ruins, who stood in the olive groves as they were uprooted, who entered homes after they were vandalized, who recorded the cries of families forced from their land. These reports are not abstractions. They are chronicles of violence. They are evidence of a campaign designed to erase. They are the voices of Hebron, of Nablus, of Ramallah, of Jenin. From international correspondents to local reporters, from human rights monitors to community witnesses, the stories converge. They tell of livestock released onto farmland, of crops destroyed, of mosques burned, of children beaten, of families displaced. So let us listen. Let us hear the cadence of truth carried in these reports. Let us allow the words of journalists, doctors, and villagers to cut through the silence imposed by power. Because in the West Bank, settler violence is not an isolated act. It is a system. It is a campaign. And the reporting we share tonight is a lifeline of memory, a record of resistance, a refusal to let the crimes be forgotten.
شيل شيل عالجمالي شيل يا حوطك بالله دم الشهيد معطر بالهليل يا ليلو.
Israeli settlers have carried out multiple attacks on Palestinians in the occupied West Bank this Saturday. In Beita, south of Nablus, settlers hurled stones at a group of Palestinians and international activists who were harvesting olives. At least 11 people were injured. Near Ramallah, settlers set fire to a Palestinian home in the early hours. Now, the residents were able to escape before the house burnt down. Several people were wounded in other attacks elsewhere in the occupied West Bank by settlers supported by the Israeli army. Well, joining us now from occupied East Jerusalem is Mohammed Dali. He is a lawyer and human rights advocate. Thanks so much for being with us here on Al Jazeera. First of all, I mean, we've talked about the settler violence, the rise in settler violence ever since October the 7th. But just how bad has it gotten right now?
It's ongoing violence by the settlers in the occupied territories, but they usually exploit exceptional circumstances whenever there is an outbreak of violence or there is any military operation in Gaza in the past. They would use that, or sometimes even a regional war or anything that would make people busy in something else. Their violence increases, and they try to seize more land. They try to uproot Palestinian trees and sometimes even Palestinians themselves from their houses. Their actions are consistent, and their goal is very clear. They want to uproot the Palestinians from their homeland. They want to seize as much land as possible. They want to have a reserve for more settlements, and they want eventually to annex these territories to Israel. Especially in areas where they see them either as part of Area C, which is around 60% of the West Bank, and in areas that they see that they are strategic for them, especially areas that are close to settlements or close to highways that lead to settlements. And that's the way they do it. They harass Palestinians in villages that are far away from cities where they have no protection whatsoever. As you might know, Palestinian security forces either are not present in those villages or in those rural areas or in the olive fields, or they cannot do much based on the current agreement between Israel and the PLO, the Oslo agreements. Yeah. And the result is as we see, burning houses, burning trees, burning cars, and injuring and killing innocent Palestinians.
As simply as going and harvesting olives has become extremely dangerous. I mean, this is often done hand in hand with the Israeli military. I mean, what responsibility does the Israeli government actually bear for protecting Palestinians' rights here?
They have the full responsibility under international humanitarian law. And in the past, human rights organizations, whether Israeli or Palestinian or international human rights organization, had some hope that the Israeli military actually would extend protection to the occupied population in the occupied land based on the obligations of the occupier, the military force that is occupying the land. And in the past, those organizations were actually, including myself, we were really trying through the Israeli system, meaning through the Israeli legal system, through the Israeli police system, investigation system, the army itself. We were filing complaints and we were filing petitions and we were asking the army to give protection and also to indict or investigate those settlers that are engaged in violence. In certain cases, we even try to file civil cases for losses and damages that those settlers had incurred. Unfortunately, in recent years, I would say even in the last decade or so, We have lost faith in that system because it turned out that the apparatus within the Israeli army, instead of investigating, is actually trying to cover up for those crimes. And the end result was that out of thousands of complaints that were filed, almost zero indictments were really filed against those settlers. Right. And it reached a point whereby human rights organizations, including the renowned Israeli human rights organization, B'Tselem, that said, we're not going to cooperate with this process anymore because the army is complicit in this. And there's no point in finding these complaints against those settlers.
Obviously, a lot of this is caught on camera. We see it happening, sometimes live streamed on social media. I mean, what do you make of the lack of action from the international community, or maybe even understanding of what is happening in the occupied West Bank right now?
It is so frustrating. It is unbelievable what's happening. I mean, whenever something happens from the side of the Palestinians, they immediately label it as terror, and they sanction the Palestinians in all possible ways. And here we see illegal settlers whose presence in the occupied territory is a criminal act. It's a war crime under international law. And they are harassing, killing, injuring, burning, damaging Palestinians and Palestinians' assets and property, and the international community is doing almost nothing. Mm. We have seen some sanctions against certain settlers, and I think what should be done is sanctions against all settlers. I mean, if international law was really to be applied, all countries in the world shouldn't allow those settlers even to enter those countries, not give them any kind of visa. But unfortunately, instead of that, we see sanctions against 2-3 settlers out of hundreds of thousands who are living in the occupied land illegally.
Thank you so much, Mohammed. We do appreciate your time and your insight, Mohammed Dali, for us there in occupied East Jerusalem.
In the Middle East, settler violence in the West Bank has intensified in recent weeks. Many of the attacks have targeted the territory's annual olive tree harvest, with more than 140 Palestinians injured and some 4,000 trees vandalized. That's according to the United Nations. For more on this, we turn to CBC's senior reporter Tom Perry, who's joining us from Jerusalem. So, Tom, give us a sense of what's the latest on the ground in the West Bank.
Well, along with those attacks that you mentioned against the Palestinian olive groves, what we saw yesterday is being described as a mass arson attack by Israeli settlers against two Palestinian settlements in the central West Bank. Now, the Israeli military says dozens of masked Israelis descended on these communities, started lighting fires, attacked Palestinians. The military says that four Palestinians were injured in these attacks. And it says, this is the Israeli military, says its own troops came under assault when they apprehended some of these attackers and turned them over to Israeli police. They say an Israeli military vehicle was damaged in this attack. Video shows burning vehicles, shows burning structures in these communities. And as I say, this is just really the latest attack. When we talk about these attacks against the olive groves, against olive farmers, this time of year when the harvest is coming in has often been a flashpoint between settlers and Palestinians, with the settlers going into these groves, attacking the trees, attacking the Palestinians, really making life miserable and very dangerous for Palestinian farmers.
What are we seeing in terms of reaction from Israelis and others in the region?
We did hear from Israeli President Isaac Herzog, who condemned this arson attack that we saw yesterday. He blamed a handful of very dangerous individuals. He said attacks against civilians and against the IDF, the Israeli military, are unacceptable. But what you're seeing in the Israeli media is really saying that what makes this attack different, stand out, is that authorities actually tried to go in and stop it. Often what we've seen with attacks by settlers against Palestinian civilians is authorities turning a blind eye or worse. We did see a UN report come out a couple of weeks back now talking about this, what they said was a shocking increase in attacks by Palestinians, by Israeli settlers against Palestinians, saying that in the first half of 2025, there were 757 attacks that caused casualties or property damage. That's an increase of 13% over last year. And pointing out as well that when it comes to Israeli authorities, that these attacks are often done, if not the authorities being ambiguous or sometimes openly supportive of the attackers. And this report says that this is often done or with a real sense of just impunity by the settlers.
Tom Perry in Jerusalem. Thank you, Tom. While the olive harvest across the West Bank has been the target of rising violence this year, one of the world's oldest olive trees is still standing there, only steps away from the Israeli security wall that separates the region. The tree is estimated to be between 3,000 and 5,500 years old. It has survived drought, war, and occupation. Known by locals as the mother of olives, the tree still grows over 400 kilograms of olives every single year.
The genocide in Gaza is far from over. Palestinians continue to lose their loved ones to Israeli violence. Starvation, mass killings, and forced displacement have become routine. Normalization of such crimes is turning to omission under the guise of ceasefire.
Crimes against Palestinians are not exceptions. They're a comprehensive policy. This is the conclusion of 12 Israeli human rights organizations, which say that 2025 has been the most violent year for Palestinians since the occupation began in 1967.
In the occupied West Bank, Israeli violence is fragmented, but not less potent.
The Israeli government is committing genocide in Gaza, and the Israeli government is committing ethnic cleansing and attacks, horrendous attacks in the West Bank continuously. I think it is valid to be worried that the mass scale of killings and destruction that we've seen in Gaza will witness them also, unfortunately, in the West Bank.
Collective punishment of entire communities in the form of military raids and home demolitions. Every aspect of Palestinians' life is controlled and violated by the Israeli occupation. Nothing is taken for granted here.
I could go out of my house to grab something for the kids from the bookstore. A trip that should take a few minutes could turn into hours. Time has no value here.
Captive Palestinians don't fare better. They're subject to systematic torture, starvation, and sexual violence. At least 98 of them have died in Israeli prisons in the last 2 years. Israeli settler attacks, which have reached unprecedented levels, have also become the violent norm, protected by the army and serving the purpose of ethnic cleansing. The common thread connecting these crimes is blanket impunity, even in the case of documented executions like this one in Jenin. The 12 Israeli organizations say Israel will not change course without accountability and outside pressure. Otherwise, they say, this criminality would be irreversible. Nuradi Al Jazeera, Ramallah, Palestine.
President Trump's Gaza peace plan is facing a crucial vote at the United Nations today. In just a few minutes, the UN Security Council is set to vote on the draft resolution of Trump's proposal. We're looking at live pictures right there. The plan is already facing some pushback, with Israel denouncing the resolution's outline for a future Palestinian state and Russia proposing its own draft of the resolution. Meanwhile, in the West Bank, Israeli settler violence against Palestinians is at a 20-year high, according to the UN. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today condemned the recent violence, blaming it on a small group of extremists, and called on law enforcement to prosecute those extremists to the fullest extent of the law. Here's NBC News international correspondent Matt Bradley.
Ash, soot, and hateful graffiti. That's all that's left after Jewish Israeli settlers attacked and set fire to this mosque last week in the Palestinian town of Deir Estia in the occupied West Bank. Prayers this weekend were an act of defiance. We want to show Netanyahu and his allies that this mosque was fixed in 24 hours, said this worshiper. Last month, settlers carried out 264 attacks against Palestinians, according to the United Nations, the most since it started keeping records nearly 20 years ago. Even in the town of Tormosaya, known as Little America.
President Trump secured a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip, but here in the West Bank, American communities are wondering where U.S. protection is for them.
Yasser Al-Kam, a local official who's from California, took us to the site of a recent attack where a settler beat an elderly woman.
We are armless. We are subject to being kicked out of our land. We are subject to intimidation, subject to fear.
One settler who refused to give us his name followed us, taking video and appearing to call for backup.
You're taking video of us. We're taking video of you too, sir.
We're the farmers, he said. We're here all day. And the ones who are attacking us are the liars, the Palestinians. The United Nations and other advocacy groups have said the Israelis aren't doing enough for violence.
You have a growing sense of disgust with those who would try to just create problems and violence.
U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee, a staunch defender of Israel, condemned the attacks.
If it's Israelis who are committing acts of terror or violence or crime against Palestinians, they should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
Matt Bradley, NBC News, Tel Aviv.
Zionism is evil. It is purely evil. It has created disasters, misery, atrocities, wars, aggression, unhappiness, insecurity for millions of Palestinians and Arabs. This ideology has no place whatsoever in a just world. None. It has to go, it has to end, and it has to be removed. Even its memory has to go.
Zionism is not a philosophy of liberation. It is an ideology of destruction. It has created disasters, misery, atrocities, wars, and aggression. It has brought unhappiness and insecurity to millions of Palestinians, to Muslims, to Arabs, and to people across the world who believe in justice. Zionism has no place in a just world. It has to go. It has to end. It has to be removed. And here is a warning to the officials who wish to remain in power. Do not confuse opposition to Zionism with anti-Semitism. Do not weaponize that word to silence truth, because justice cannot be silenced, and history will not forgive those who stand with oppression. If you want to remain in the good graces of Zionism empire, there is a list you will be told to follow, a list that reveals the cruelty of complicity. Do not treat Palestinians as human beings. Do not feel sorrow for their murdered children. Do not let your heart break for the tears of mothers crying for their sons, their daughters, their families. Do not complain about hospitals bombed, about homes bulldozed, about schools reduced to rubble. Do not argue history with historians. Just say, the Bible commands us to obey. Do not stay human. This is the twisted logic of Zionism. It demands silence in the face of atrocity. It demands obedience to myth over memory. It demands that officials, leaders, and governments turn away from conscience, turn away from humanity, turn away from justice. But we will not obey. We will not forget. We will not surrender our humanity. Zionism is an ideology of erasure, and the world must say clearly, it has no place in the future. It has no place in justice. It has no place in humanity. To remain human is to resist. To remain human is to refuse silence. To remain human is to stand with Palestine.
My national aspirations, you respect them, do you? I see. Well, the way you would respect them is by getting out of my land. That would be the best illustration of how much you respect my national aspirations. I find you fascinating, Mr. Diane. I really do. I can't understand how you have such self-assurance. A man who was born in Argentina, whose family comes from the Ukraine, and is actually wanting people, sensible people, to believe that he has some connection with my country. But there's another point I want to put to you, since you respect me so much. Tell me, to many people, you, despite your eloquence, represent nothing other, you and your fellow settlers, nothing other than common thieves. You live on stolen land, you drink stolen water, you eat stolen fruit, you farm stolen farms. Convince me,
I will,
and the audience and the viewers, that you are not, you and your settler friends are not common thieves.
شيل شيل عالجمالي شيل يا حوطك بالله دم الشهيد معطر بالهليل يا ليلو.
Before we close our episode today, let us pause. Let us honor the fallen in Gaza. Let us honor the fallen across all of Palestine. Let us remember them one by one, even though we do not know all their names. Even though we cannot count the names we do know. Each life is a universe. Each name is a story. Each loss is a wound carried by the living. We honor the people who stood by the Palestinians. We honor Rachel Corey, the young American activist who gave her life in Rafah, standing against bulldozers that sought to erase homes. We honor Greta Thunberg for leading the Freedom Flotilla boat and inspires hundreds of activists to join her and millions around the world to track and support every move she made. We honor Vittorio Arrigoni, the Italian activist who lived among Palestinians, whose motto was simple, stay human. We honor those aboard the Freedom Flotilla, like Furkan Doğan, the 19-year-old American killed aboard the Mavi Marmara, and the many others who sailed to break the siege, risking their lives to deliver aid and solidarity. We honor the free voices, Muslims, Christians, and Jews, who refused genocide, who refused silence, who refused complicity. We honor the journalists who carried the truth to the world. We honor Shireen Abu Akleh, her voice silenced, but her legacy eternal. We honor Issam Abdallah of Reuters, killed while documenting the war. We honor the countless Palestinian reporters in Gaza, like Plestia Al-Akkad, like Rami Al-Shire, like Wael Al-Dahdu, who risked everything to show the world what was happening, who turned their cameras into shields of truth. We honor international journalists like John Pilger, who exposed empire's machinery, like Amira Haas, who lived among Palestinians to tell their stories, like Robert Fisk, who chronicled the wars of the Middle East with unflinching honesty. We honor the doctors who stayed in Gaza's hospitals working under bombardment, performing surgeries without anesthesia, choosing to heal even when death surrounded them. We honor Dr. Ghassan Abusita, the British Palestinian surgeon who entered Gaza to save lives. We honor Dr. Mona Elfara, who has dedicated her life to public health in Gaza. We honor Dr. Iyad El-Siraj, who gave his life to mental health care for children under siege. We honor the nurses, paramedics, and volunteers, those whose names we may never know, but whose hands carried the wounded, whose voices comforted the dying. We honor the children. We honor Hind Rajab, the the 5-year-old girl, trapped in a car, surrounded by tanks, her cries echoing across the world. We honor the countless children whose names we may never know, but whose laughter was stolen, whose futures were erased. We honor the students, the young Palestinians, who studied by candlelight, who carried books into shelters, who dreamed of futures stolen by bombs. We honor the American students who stood in solidarity from Columbia University to Harvard, from Berkeley to Michigan, from Boston College to UCLA, students who organized walkouts, sit-ins, and teach-ins, students who refused to be silent. We honor the voices of Gen Zs who, through social media, have dismantled myths, who have shown the world the rubble, the hunger, the resilience. They are rewriting the narrative. They are carrying forward the flame of justice. We honor Americans who refused complicity. We honor Angela Davis, who has long connected the struggles of Black liberation to Palestinian liberation. We honor Cornel West, who has spoken truth to power about the moral urgency of Palestine. We honor Jewish voices of conscience, like Judith Butler, like Norman Finkelstein, like Ilan Pappe, who exposed the myths of Zionism and defended the dignity of Palestinians. We honor everyday Americans, teachers, nurses, workers, who marched in Washington, who carried Palestinian flags in New York, who stood in solidarity in Chicago, San Francisco, Boston. Their names may not be known, but their presence is remembered. Let us honor the fallen. Let us honor the living. Let us honor the voices that refused silence. From Gaza to the West Bank, from refugee camps to classrooms, from hospitals to newsrooms, from streets in America to streets in Palestine, the struggle is shared. The memory is collective. The resistance is sacred. History will not forget the fallen. History will not forget those who stood with them. And we too will not forget. Let us keep honoring the names, the lives, the voices that remind us justice is not negotiable.
ويل ويل عالظالم ويل ويل من الله نسهر على نجوم الليل نداويل.
And with that, we arrive at the close of this week's episode. As always, stay curious, stay courageous, and keep asking the questions that unsettle power, challenge silence, and light the way toward justice. I'm Abby Mosri, your host and narrator. It has been a profound honor to share this space with you, a space where truth is spoken without compromise, where resistance is carried with reverence, and where solidarity is never up for negotiation. If you have reflections, questions, or hopes to support the work we do, or if you feel called to step behind the mic as a future host, we welcome your voice. You can reach us anytime at twippodcasts@gmail.com. To our listeners, thank you for your time, for your trust, and for your willingness to walk this path with us. To the brilliant team whose vision and dedication keep this platform alive, Bob Funk, Stanley Robinson, Stephen Lowe, Sophia Rose Wolman, Tahani Abumosa, Dr. Rana Awad, Dr. Bethany Marks, Professor Yara Rashid, Juliette Salame Olivier, Reynaud Al-Ghul, and our editor, Mohamed Al-Ghul. Your labor, your spirit, and your unwavering commitment are the heartbeat of this show. You remind us that storytelling is not merely a craft. It is resistance. It is care. It is collective memory. Until next time, keep walking toward truth. Keep walking toward Palestine. This Week in Palestine is a production of Truth and Justice Radio, proudly broadcasting from WZBC Student Radio at Boston College. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. We'll return next week. Until then, take care and stay steadfast. Free Palestine. Philistine Hurrah.
شيل شيل عالجمالي شيل يا حوطك بالله دم الشهيد معطر بالهليل يا ليلو ويل ويل عالظالمي ويل ويل من الله نسهر على نجوم الليل انا داويلو شيل شيل عالجمالي شيل يا حوطك بالله دم الشهيد معطر بالهليل يا ليلو ويل ويل عالظالمي ويل ويل لا أسهر على نجوم الليل أنا داويله شيل شيل عالجمالي شيل يا حوطك بالله دم الشهيد معطر بالهليل يا ليلو ويل ويل عالظالمي ويل ويل من الله لا أسهر على نجوم الليل أنا داويله